Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Well, our guest this evening is Carol Matriciana, and we're going to be talking about some of the videos she's made. We're going to be talking about the spreading of belief in witchcraft and the supernatural among our young, and even increasing belief in the supernatural among many of the adults in this country. And there is a growing fascination with this idea of being able to find the real power, the hidden power that is hidden within each one of us. And it is that old adage that began in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent said to Eve, "And ye shall be as gods." And this has been the message down through the eons, that man has within his own capacity the ability to be as God. And of course, to have these supernatural powers, to be able to contact this other dimension. And of course, on the front line of this is a woman who actually came out of the occult, out of the New Age movement, having been born in India and raised in a British family, during the latter days of the British Empire, and then going to England and becoming involved with the New Age movement, and then becoming a Christian. And Carol's been working very hard for many years to expose this fifth column, this subversive religious fifth column within our society today. Carol, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It is always such a wonderful privilege to be with you.
Well, tell us what you're seeing today, because things are moving very, very fast as these ideas are being spread in our children and even in our adults.
Ah, it is just incredible how quickly things are moving. You're absolutely right. About 20 years ago, I made a film called Gods of the New Age, and I wrote a book of the same title. And just watching in the past two decades the change of Eastern mysticism, Hinduism, yoga, the way that yoga is now being taught in schools. It is just incredible. I am on the verge of finishing a film on yoga, and in fact, this very week I'm concluding it, and you are going to get one of the first copies, which I am very excited to tell you about. But, you know, just the incredible thing of how yoga has now completely appeared to be, is marketed as though it isn't a Hindu Eastern mystical practice.
But isn't this really very similar to what we're actually taking up in so many of our Christian churches today, in the name of contemplative prayer, where you sort of put yourself into this, in this state of almost this state of almost like a state that you'd have with yoga?
Exactly. You're absolutely right. It's crossed into markets. It's gone across from secular thinking into our Christian institutions and organizations. And in fact, this is what my latest film is about, how it has come into the church, how it is presenting itself in the church, how we are opening ourselves up to the spiritual realm out there without even calling it a spiritual realm in some cases. I mean, it's just amazing. 20 years, 30 years ago, it was so obvious that Eastern mysticism, that yoga came from Hinduism. It was so obvious it came from India. But then it started getting packaged as a scientific program, as though it was somehow scientifically proved that it was able to bring about a fitness. It was able to...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. You go right ahead and pick your thought up there, Carol.
I was just mentioning that the way that yoga became repackaged, as though they could take away the spiritual aspects of it, as though it could be scientifically monitored somehow, that the sort of spiritual connection that one opened oneself up to could be monitored in a scientific way and, presented as... scientifically showing improvement. For instance, just recently in 2003, I believe it was, there were researchers at California State University that studied these TEP scores at the accelerated school district, and particularly focused in on this new yoga that is being taught to children in schools, 100 schools across 26 states. They've adopted this Goobas yoga educational program, and more than 300 physical education instructors have been trained in it. So here we had the researchers of the California State University looking into how the students were performing. And so scientifically, they have found a correlation between the kids that take yoga, that they've got better behavior, better grades, and they said these young kids that have been taking these programs are much more fit than the district average, you know, in the physical fitness thing. So they take these tests, they show that they're scientifically supposedly accelerated and being able to perform better, and they're not seeing that here in schools where they've taken out the Bible, they've taken out prayer, they've taken out Christian foundational anything that is associated with a Christian worldview, and yet they're bringing in Eastern mysticism, completely connected with yoga, Hinduism. All of that is part of this Eastern mystical worldview, and this is now being brought into schools where they say that they can empty, that they can separate the physical from the spiritual. So it's absolutely amazing that this has grown. I mean, at a time when we've got Harry Potter being coming into the schools, where the Bible's being taken out, Harry Potter's been allowed to be read aloud in the classrooms, and here we've got witchcraft brought in a child-friendly way to our young students, teaching them all about this young wizard, learning wizardry.
We're talking about yoga that is coming into our schools, which is basically a form of Eastern mysticism. Could you explain to our listeners who really don't understand yoga what this is, how it works, and why it is so deadly dangerous?
Well, Dr. Stern, as you said earlier in your program, I was born and raised in India, and I was fifth generation born in India, and very, very familiar with Eastern mysticism and Hinduism. And in India, yoga and Hinduism are synonymous. The practice of yoga is something that is done by most Hindus in the last stage of their lives when they're preparing to go into their next phase of life in their reincarnation cycle. So the Indian, the Hindu believes that their body goes from body to body, so that when they die out of this one body, their soul goes into another body and another body and so on. And depending on what they've accomplished or done in past lives determines how they will come back in future lives. So yoga is a very, very important part of preparing them for death, preparing them for reincarnation, helping them to change their mind through mind exercises, even though they're also physical exercises. But the physical exercises are connected with deities. Every body posture is connected with a deity, the name of an animal that the body gets into in order to be able to become one with the universe, become one with the idea. The Hindu idea of deity is that all nature is divine, if you will. So the problem with man is he doesn't understand his divinity, and he doesn't understand that he's one with the cosmic consciousness. And so yoga is part of changing his consciousness, changing his mind to become one and become united with the sort of higher consciousness, this divinity, before he gives up this body in order to be prepared to bring his soul into the next body.
Well, Carol, this state of mind that is being stressed, this almost altered state of consciousness, do you think this opens one up to demonic possession?
It's certainly, if one comes from a biblical worldview, we would understand it, because the Bible explains that we have to love the Lord our God with all our mind. We have to bring our mind under the mind of Christ. We have to have God's opinion. So from a biblical point of view, we're told not to give up our minds, not to put our minds into neutral, so to speak, because it would open up a doorway for our minds to be taken over by another being. Now, within Hinduism, they don't see that. That is not what they would see in a negative way. They believe that every single energy out there, every single sort of force, if you will, is part of divinity. So, yes, from a biblical viewpoint, of course we would say that it's supernaturally dangerous and something that we mustn't get involved in. From an Eastern perspective, they say you must get involved in that in order to understand the energy that you have inside of yourself that has to be awakened. In fact, even more incredible, it's only in the Bible that the serpent is seen as the enemy of God. But in every other culture, the serpent is believed to be a divinity of wisdom, an energy of wisdom. And actually, within yoga practice, this cobra, this serpent, this energy is called Kundalini. And it is believed to lay dormant at the base of each person's spine and must be awakened through yoga. The serpent power is awakened, brought up through the chakras or psychic energies that are believed to be along the spine, and ultimately to come up to the very top psychic energy, which is called the third eye, between the two eyes up in the forehead. And then this will ultimately open the yoga practitioner up through a mind-altering experience to the understanding that they are divine and part of divinity and can be united with cosmic consciousness or the Hindu god, which is an impersonal force. So it is unbelievable that these two completely opposing worldviews are not, it's not called a worldview when this yoga practice is brought into schools and being practiced now in hundreds of schools across America. The young children, the teacher, Gerber, that put this thing together, specifically worked on taking out everything that appeared to be spiritual. She very, very specifically engineered this. She's been a yoga practitioner since for many, many years. And she wanted to bring yoga into public schools, but there was this absolute outcry that it was religious, and so she put together this program to supposedly take out all these sort of Sanskrit, Eastern Hindu concepts, and she called them completely different things. So she called breathing, which is an important part of yoga to stimulate an altered state of consciousness, she started calling it bunny breathing for her little children. And all these different terms, meditation, she didn't call it meditation, she called it time in. So she changed the names of these practices, stripped every piece of anything that could vaguely be construed as spiritual or Eastern, it would come from its Eastern worldview, its Eastern base, and she was able to bring it into schools. And in fact, the government pays grant money to bring this, to bring these teachers. The federal government gives grants to gym teachers who completed a teacher training course in yoga. And so, hence, we've now got this thing in with kids who we would never, that would never be, it wouldn't even be imaginable that they could read the Bible or say Christian prayers or learn anything Christian in schools, and yet they're able to practice Hindu mysticism, Eastern mysticism, in the form of this sort of new type of yoga.
Well, you know, I think one of the hardest things for the average American, even for many American Christians, to recognize is the fact that there is a spiritual dimension behind everything going on today. We live in a materialistic world, but there is a spiritual dimension in which these demonic spirits and these other forces work. And one of the things, of course, that the mystics do, many of them, will actually tap into this other dimension. Now, certainly our students, when they're putting themselves in this altered state of consciousness, do not understand that there is another dimension, and there really are spiritual forces there that would love to claim their soul. Sounds pretty absurd, but would you agree that this is the real danger for the people who put their minds into this altered state of consciousness, that they're opening themselves up to be possessed?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you know, even the Hindus, even strong Hindus, will absolutely admit that yoga is part of their religion. It's part of the sacred teachings and practices of their religion. And while they wouldn't agree that this is negative, the way that Bible-believing Christians would understand that that there are dangers, the Hindu, the Orthodox Hindu, will admit that it is a religious practice. But Dr. Stan, I think the difficulties are that people don't believe that Satan is real. They don't believe that he is a person. Somehow they've relegated Satan to this force, this impersonal force, just the way that they've relegated God to being an impersonal force. So when you don't have a personal attribute given to Satan, then it just sort of becomes this, you know, it's just not even explained in a way. For instance, even in the Harry Potter books, where Harry Potter's got this energy, which is explained as the white side of his enemy, the evil Lord Voldemort, who has the dark side. So once we start calling this force the light side and the dark side and not giving it a personal characteristic, then it all sort of becomes rather nebulous and doesn't appear to be dangerous. But from a biblical viewpoint and a biblical understanding, God thought so seriously about this the personality of these fallen angels. In fact, I think the thing is that many people just don't know enough about angels and the spiritual world. And when I made the movie Supernatural Powers, the battle between good and evil, in fact, I don't know if you know that it got the best documentary for 2006. Last year.
I really didn't, but we do carry the video. In fact, I was noticing we had copies of it the other day. That's Supernatural.
I was thrilled when it was given the best documentary of 2006, but in that we explained that God created all the angels, and that the angels had free will to follow God or not, just as man was created in the image and likeness of God and was given free will. And that there were a third of the angels that chose not to follow God. And these are the fallen angels of the demonic spirits that are longing to have a physical body to come into. So they will come and lie and cheat and try and open the minds of whoever will accept them into, whoever's mind will be opened enough so that these beings can work and communicate through a physical body.
Well, you know, the big problem is, Carol, that our ministers are not teaching this. In fact, they haven't been taught it in their school. And many of them don't even believe in hell or the Satan or the demonic spirits or the spiritual battle that's taking place. So how can they teach their parishioners? Well, Carol, you go right ahead with the story. And certainly I was just commenting, one of the big problems we have today is that we have so many Christians who are spiritually illiterate. Their mind have been filled with all sorts of things and doctrines, but they don't understand the very foundation of Christendom and the spiritual battle that began in the Garden of Eden and is coming to its culmination today. And so pick the story up from there.
You're absolutely right. And each of my films that I make, I try in a different way to bring out the idea of a personal God and a personal enemy. And the incredible fight in our minds. Our minds are the battlefield for the enemy of God. And this latest film that I have just completed, in fact, is just going through its completion this week, I went to India. It's been about 4 years in the making. I went to India to interview the experts on Hinduism and yoga teachers and asked them if the practice of yoga, the physical practice of yoga, can be separated from the spiritual practice of yoga. And they absolutely say no, that it is just for them. They are offended that the West treats Hinduism rather like a recipe, and they say that Hinduism is not like a recipe ingredient that can be extracted from yoga, that Hinduism and yoga are totally synonymous, and in fact, Hinduism Today, which is a leading Indian publication, admits that Hinduism is the soul of yoga, and it's based on Hindu scriptures and developed by Hindu sages, and that yoga opens up new and more refined states of mind, and to understand them, one needs to believe in and understand the Hindu way of looking at God. And they warn that a Christian trying to adapt these practices of yoga will likely disrupt their own Christian beliefs. So they understand that there are two different worldviews, that they are opposing worldviews, and yet today we find that Christians are taking yoga, trying to take just the physical practice of yoga and use it just for physical fitness, not realizing that yoga is designed to open up the mind, to introduce the deities as they see them. They call them deities, but from a biblical point of view, we would see them as fallen angels and demons that are in rebellion to God, and that they seek to come into the bodies of human beings so that they can use their vocal cords and their hearts and their minds to perpetuate evil behavior that is quite contrary to what God has designed us to do. And
what you're really describing is demonic possession. So many people say, oh, this could never happen. Nobody's ever possessed by a demon. And don't you for 1 minute believe they could not be. Many people are possessed by demons. And if you haven't yet read this wonderful book we carry called Hostage to the Devil by Malachi Martin, let me suggest you read that. This was my first introduction to this concept. And I will tell you, it's one of the most gripping books you will ever read. And once you've read it, you'll be able to understand what Carol's talking about. There really are people who are actively possessed by demonic spirits. And, of course, it has horrible results. And we're simply talking about this concept of demonic possession. And, of course, with so many of the things that have been introduced into our churches and into our schools, and to in every aspect of our society, in the name of yoga and meditation and contemplative prayer and walking the labyrinth, and all of these things are opening you up to demonic possession. So pick the story up there, Carol.
Well, I was telling about the adventures of going to India to interview experts on Hinduism, and of course we had done this 2 decades ago when we made our movie Gods of the New Age, and we started talking to the practitioners of yoga back then and followed the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh to his community in Oregon, in Antelope, Oregon. And if you remember that footage of hundreds of orange-clad devotees of Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh involved in these different types of meditation, being completely possessed. And when you saw it on camera and the frightening effects of them opening up their minds, going into these trances and actually seeing their bodies contort and move, and as they swirled and rotated and fell on the floor, blood coming out of one of their nostrils, and screaming. I remember when we were filming that, being in this huge open sort of building that didn't have sides, had a roof, but the screaming, the pitch of the screaming as these hundreds of people were opening themselves up to being possessed
That was one of the most gripping pieces of film footage I've ever seen.
It was incredible. And Dr. Stan, you are going to be amazed at some of the footage that is in the film that I'm just in the process of completing called Yoga Uncoiled. And there we go to the practitioners of Hinduism in India, where the Hindu Vishva Parishad, which is one of the largest missionary organizations in India, admits that Hinduism is giving way to that Christianity has now been taken over by Hinduism, and that their missionaries in the East have become the great missionaries through yoga, that they are sending their teachers to the West to take over through yoga. And it is just amazing seeing hundreds and thousands of these Hindu disciples at the Vishva Hindu Parishad, the Allahabad Kumbh Mela, and just look at them, and they look very different to people that appear to be spirit-filled in a good and positive way here. I mean, they were naked, covered in ashes, covered in matting their hair, and looking completely demented.
Well, because how about a demonic? Would that be a better?
Absolutely. And it's amazing when you actually see all this on camera, where people say that no, this can't possibly happen. But you know, I have been in the middle of demon-possessed people, and I know it to be real. I have watched it. In fact, in one of our filming sessions, this fellow came into the tent as we were changing our films in the camera, and we needed a sort of a place away from the sun so that we could change our equipment. This fellow came in with this deep, dark, haunting, terrified voice, and at swords, here I was at the end of his sword as he was about to pierce his sword through me, and fortunately, by the power, the almighty power of a much greater God, I was able to calm this demented person to, to leave me alone.
Now, of course, did you get this on film?
No. We were changing our film in the camera, so we couldn't take any film as this was taking place. But I'll tell you, it is absolutely sketched so clearly, etched on my mind. The moment that happened was indeed a scary moment for me. But I have been in the middle, because, you know, I've been involved in counseling people that have been in satanic cults and in Hindu cults. And so I have had the opportunity of speaking to people who are demon-possessed, and actually speaking to these voices that come out of them and accuse me. Want to kill me.
And Carol is simply talking about how she's had the opportunity on many occasions to minister to people who are demonically possessed who would actually threaten to kill her. And, of course, we have 4 tape sets with other people who are really in these deliverance ministries. People laugh at it. There's no such thing. Yes, there is today. Unless you understand that there really is another dimension, there really are demonic spirits, there really are people who worship Lucifer, who hate Christianity, and of course they're doing everything they can today to destroy and discredit Christianity right here in America. And of course, when we see the witchcraft being even taught in our schools with the writings of Harry Potter, this is applied witchcraft from 101. And yet this should be allowed in our schools. But we would never dare and allow mention of the word of the name of Jesus Christ or have a prayer in our schools. Go ahead, Carol.
Yes, it is. It's amazing. And I think one of the insidious things about, when Satanism or the cults are very obvious, people recognize them. But when they're sugar-coated and cleaned up and called scientific or child-friendly and can come into our schools, it's absolutely awful. I was talking about this this huge, great Indian, this Hindu festival called the Kumbh Mela, and how some years ago I was present at that, and it's organized by India's Vishva Hindu Parishad, which is probably the world's largest missionary organization. And the Kumbh Mela that I went to in 1979 in Allahabad, India, there was actually the Second World Congress on Hinduism. There were about probably 60,000 delegates from around the world that were speaking at that, and one of the speakers said that our mission in the West has been crowned with fantastic success. Hinduism is becoming the dominant world religion, and the end of Christianity has come near. And in this film that I'm just finishing, called Yoga Uncoiled, we show how yoga teachers in the West have become the leading missionaries of Hinduism, and there are probably about 70,000 of them in America today, in more than 20,000 locations, teaching probably an estimated 35 to 40 million fitness fanatics. And
this is Dr. Stan, and Carol is basically saying that they're teaching, there's 70,000 missionaries here from the Hindu countries, and they are teaching 30 to 40 million people in these new programs.
Yes, I mean 30 to 40 million Americans are taking yoga across this nation. And what they don't understand is the yoga teachers are basically the leading missionaries of Hinduism, because Hinduism and yoga have been repackaged as a fitness exercise. People don't understand that when they go into the gyms, when they go into the YMCAs, when they go into bars or schools and are taking yoga, that they don't understand that they are being indoctrinated into Eastern mysticism, a mind changing program. It's not physical exercise. If you want to do physical exercise, you do not sit down in a lotus position and have your mind changed. You go out and you sweat out on a soccer field or in a swimming pool or on the tennis courts. And if you want to do physical exercise, then do radical physical exercise. But yoga specifically teaches to have your mind change. These exercise programs are presented. They offer themselves as stress reduction or burnout reduction or concentration benefit programs. This is not exercise. Yes, there's some stretching involved, and yes, there's a little bit of sort of rolling around, but it's not physical exercise. So what's happening is yoga is basically experiencing a renaissance worldwide, and it's probably about a $27 billion industry. And here this new type of Eastern mysticism is coming into our gyms and health exercises, health clinics, health studios across the nation, offering stress benefits, and is promoted in hospital programs as an alternative medical therapy. It claims to reduce blood pressure and benefit the heart, and it is a new type of mental conditioning, now once again being made child-friendly, just like witchcraft was made child-friendly and introduced into the school system through Harry Potter books. So today, we have this new type of yoga being made child-friendly in 100 schools across the nation in 26 states. It's being called Gerber's Yoga Ed Program, and children are being taught it, and it is being promoted as bringing in good benefits for young children, that they can that they have better behavior and better grades if they do this program. And, you know, at a time when public schools, there's no religion, that religion should not be taught in schools. And if they've kicked out Christianity, then also the practice of yoga should not be in public schools. So it's just everything is changing its language, it's changing its presentation. But basically the bottom line is to condition our minds to get us into a relationship with supernatural beings out there that are changing us and ultimately preparing us for the world leader, the Antichrist, that is going to come in and rule the world. And there's this sort of huge global conditioning process going on that so many people just don't understand. And it's interesting that it's not only coming in through school programs or fitness programs, but it's also coming through the church, and it's being called this sort of new Eastern mysticism is being called contemplative prayer or centering techniques. And what it does is it gets Christians into a place where they're not meditating on the Bible, they're not meditating on the opinion of God, they're relating to spiritual experiences and feelings and having their mind emptied to be able to bring in these sort of feel-good ideas that certainly are changing the psyche of the practitioners. I mean, I don't doubt for a moment that these young school kids that are being involved, there's this school program that's been going on now for about 6 years, a six-year-old yoga program that is being promoted, is helping distracted children to focus. They're saying that if your children have ADD and focusing issues, that this type of yoga is very important to help children focus and improve their behavior. So here, once again, a spiritual exercise is coming into the schools to change our children's spiritual, mental, spiritual being, to make them more docile or more easily pliable to a controlling method that is going to ultimately be able to come in some global capacity to change the minds of people and make them docile and prepare them for becoming world leader. And, you know, interestingly, of course, we see the same ecumenical program coming through Islam. You know, not very long ago, there was the official Iranian radio that started broadcasting these lengthy series on the imminent appearance of their messianic figure, who it was believed would defeat Islam's enemies, and which of course are the Christians and the Jews. And here there was this, you know, the entire world is going to have this Islamic Shiite rule, and the Muslims are waiting for their 12th Imam or Mahdi to come in, and this Mahdi will appear suddenly in Mecca. And interestingly, the Iranian president expects both Jesus and the Mahdi to return and wipe away repression. So we've got the Muslims waiting for the Messiah, we've got Christians waiting for their sort of coming Messiah.
The return of Christ, and of course the Jews are waiting for the Messiah, and the Hindu is waiting for Maitreya.
So that's exactly it. And so there's this huge conditioning process that's going on, and so many people are just deceived and blind and don't understand that in order for this world being this being to come in, there's got to be a conditioning process, and the conditioning process is being done through mind-altering techniques, bringing in spiritual entities into very, very young kids through all sorts of methods and means. And one of them is yoga, which is what my new film is going to be about, and I think you will be absolutely amazed when you look at a Christian yoga teacher that I interviewed in this, who starts talking about how she has completely turned around Christian yoga or the practice of Eastern mysticism and calling it Christian yoga. It is the most incredible interview. It'll be an amazing film. I truly believe it's the best documentary that I've had the privilege of making, and I've made about, over 53 documentaries in the last couple of decades, and I think this one is going to be the most powerful.
When are we going to have it available?
Well, I'm going to send you your free director's, complimentary director's copy next week, Dr. Stan.
All right,
you are going to see it.
Well, we'll look forward to it, and certainly we'll carry that, and we'll do everything we can to help you get this material disseminated across America, because I think you're certainly, we're very fortunate to have you and your talent trying to utilize video to educate the people. But before we go on, I want you to get out your webpage. I want you to get out the information on how people can get your material. We do carry a great deal of Carol's material, and we'll probably be carrying more, but I want you to know how to get in touch with her material and with her webpage. So what can you tell them?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, they can go on to my www.caryltv, I spell my name CaryltV, like television, .com. And if they'd like to even make pre-orders, pre-sales for the Yoga Uncoiled video, I will be very, very happy to take any pre-sale orders. Or they can phone me at 951-301-1101.
Give that one more time, please.
951-301-1101. A lot of ones and a lot of zeros.
The thing is,
301-1101.
The thing is that the average American finds it so difficult to believe that this could be in our churches, yet it is. It's called the emerging church. And what we want is for Christians to have an experience, not to study Christianity, the Word of God, but to experience Christianity. And we're looking for that Christian experience. And, of course, what we're really doing is opening ourselves up to demonic possession. And the same thing, of course, really is true in every aspect of life. It's in our schools. Certainly, it's in our movies. It's everywhere we look. And the target is the mind of the American people, altering our perception of reality. They're doing a tremendous job about it. And the big problem is it is taking place because Christians do not understand the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, Dr. Stan. I agree with much of what you say, and it's just, I'm amazed that here you are, always working hard, opening up people's minds, and it still amazes me that people are deceived and can't see. You know, it's a spiritual blindness. That's what's so incredible. A spiritual blindness clouds the minds of so many so that they cannot see the biblical reality. And I have seen the reality of demonic beings, spiritual beings. I've grown up in India, and it's very prevalent and it's very accepted. And, you know, one sees it in, my daily living, my going to school and living in India. One could see spiritual apparitions and signs and wonders, in a way, and incredible powers that came with these things when you gave yourself over to them. And here we've got young kids in, through the Harry Potter series, that want to be like their little hero Harry Potter, and they want to be able to do the things that Harry Potter can do, the magic that Harry can do. And Harry says, just concentrate on what you want and it'll happen. And here he specifically teaches young children how to be able to train their minds and be able to think in a different way. And Harry, of course, lives in this world of supernaturalism. in the so-called imaginary school of Hogwarts, school of witchcraft and wizardry, where there are ghosts that live with them, and animals and beings that change into from humans to animals and animals to humans. So there is every aspect of the supernatural world is illustrated in a child-friendly way so that children can see the supernatural through the eyes of Harry. But it looks exciting, and it's a power that Harry has and is able to work and overcome difficulties with, and so they want it. So here it is being shown in the books, and of course in movies, as you mentioned. I made a film called Gods of Entertainment, where we show the occultism that is prevalent through special effects and the incredible ability of the movie world to be able to make fantasy into reality and capture the imaginations of young children through video games, through the internet, through movies. And so their minds are continually being excited and fascinated by the occult world, which is made to look good if they stay within the white realm of it. And of course, it's also meant to look fearful if you go to the dark side. But they're being told that they can control not going into the dark side, whereas in the world of Harry Potter, you can see that there are dangers in that dark side. And J.K. Rowling, the author, says that each book is darker and darker, and she's going to be coming out with book number 7 in July. And of course, Warner Brothers is coming out with film number 5 based on book number 5 in July. So here we have this barrage of more child-friendly witchcraft. And then you've got the hero of Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, who has been playing the role of Harry Potter, who just in a couple of weeks is going to be on the theatre in the West End, on the stage in the West End, appearing nude and naked in an erotic scene with a horse. So here this young 17-year-old boy who millions of children all over the world see as their hero is getting into this sort of perverse child pornography, and kids are just being bombarded with sort of desensitization of morality, desensitization of occultism, and not being able to know what is right and what is wrong. It's a very, very scary world for young children, I think.
Well, I think they've targeted the minds of our children, and they're doing such a good job through the miracle of video and through the miracle of film. And the average parent doesn't have any idea that this is not simply fun and games. They're really gambling with the souls of their children, because that's what this is really all about. You know, I was just thinking, Carol, looking back 30 years, you know, when I was getting started in my study, I had no idea that there was this other realm out there, that there was another dimension. The idea of the true supernatural was so far from my mind, because after all, I lived in a materialistic world. And it really wasn't until the early 1980s I began to realize that there is this other dimension, there is this other place out there that where so much of this spiritual battle is being fought. And, until people understand that the purpose of witchcraft is to be able to reach the beings from the other dimension, and they really are able to do that. That's the frightening thing. They're in communion with them. They think that their good spirits are going to be helping them, but of course they're not good spirits. They will tell you, well, there are white witches and black witches. No, they're all black witches. They're only shades of gray. And of course, they are dabbling with things they have no idea about and will very well cost them their eternal souls. We'll be back here in just a moment here with Carol Matriciana, and of course her new film is going to be on yoga. I can hardly wait to see it. Well, Carol, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Well, Dr. Stan, I just would encourage all your viewers to keep in touch with everything you do, listen to you regularly, go into your shop, buy your product, and please come and visit my webpage, www.caryltv.com, and learn and become enlightened to discern learn about the times we live in, discern the times we live in. These are treacherous times, and we need to be completely as wise as serpents and gentle as doves in these days when our minds are being clouded, whether it's through Islam, the invasion of Islam in America, in fact, that's going to be my next film after this one on yoga, but just to be able to see what is taking place and how they are targeting our young children is very scary indeed. And I thank you so much for what you are doing in alerting and waking up the American public to the dangers in all sorts of realms, in the health realm, in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm. I thank you very, very much.
Well, I think we're really very, very privileged to have the opportunity to have a voice in time like this.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that we have people all throughout the world who are listening to our programs. In fact, it's sort of an awesome responsibility. Because, of course, I feel that I have to present, you know, a reflection of what we would hope that Christians should. And, of course, being a fallible human being, sometimes when we'll have somebody come on, it'll be very rude and do everything you can to get us antagonized and not to respond, you know, as you ordinarily would anticipate. But, of course, to try to make people understand that Christians are different. And, of course, this is not because we're different on our own, but only because of our reliance on our Lord. And hopefully we can have some impact on people, and hopefully some of our listeners will come to know the Lord. That's my hope and purpose, because I'm certainly not here to entertain. I'm here to make people understand we're involved in a spiritual battle,
mm-hmm.
and they certainly better find out which side of that battle they're on, because there's no neutral position there. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And that's the reason I make each of my films, and every one of them I try and take the opportunity of showing the difference between the two sides. The side that Jesus Christ has come to set us free from sin. He is our Savior. He wants us to have a time with Him in eternity. And then the other side, His rebellious fallen angels that want to dupe us. And,
hold on for just 30 seconds here, and I'll let you finish the thought here. Well, Carol was simply talking about this battle that exists, and there really are two sides. There's certainly the sides of Christianity, and then the sides of the demons and the fallen angels, and you're going to have to decide which side you're on, because there is no neutral position here. Why don't you finish your thought there, Carol?
Exactly. There just absolutely isn't. You know, Jesus Christ himself came to set us free from this absolutely awful condition that we are caught in, the condition of sin, and we can either give our lives to Christ, who has set us free from that, or we can attempt to set ourselves free through all sorts of human methods and ideologies and philosophies and mind-bending and mind-twisting remedies, which I'm afraid will absolutely lead nowhere. And I can tell you, because I was involved in the dark side and have certainly seen both sides of the supernatural world, and I thank my Lord Jesus Christ every day for setting me free from the dark side.
God bless you. Good night, Carol. And we'll look forward to having you on again sometime real soon.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night.
Good night.